Chapter 13 Chicken Wings. Getting back into the kitchen was its own separate recovery. Not the kind with milestones and clinical measurements, and a doctor nodding approvingly from across an exam table. Just the daily, slightly chaotic process of learning to function in a small space with a body that was still figuring out what it could and could not do. Mike had been doing all the cooking since October. He had risen to it in ways that genuinely moved me, following recipes I found online, shopping for ingredients, putting meals on the table every single day without complaint. But there came a point where I needed to contribute, not because he was not managing, because I needed to feel like I was part of our life again, rather than simply a recipient of it. The first solution was the camp stove. I still had it from my van life days, a small portable stove that had traveled with me to campsites and parking lots and wherever my minivan, Little Dove, happened to be parked. Mike retrieved it from storage and set it up on the dining room table, and I sat in my wheelchair and cooked from there. He'd bring me the ingredients, and I would do the rest. It was not how either of us had imagined our kitchen life looking. But it worked, and working was all we needed it to be. Progress, not perfection. I have always said that. I was learning to live it. Eventually, I graduated to standing and cooking in our actual kitchen. Our kitchen is small, which turned out to be an advantage I had not anticipated. Everything was within reach. The counter runs along the wall in a way that permits me to hold on as I move from the refrigerator to the stove to the sink, one hand always touching something solid. Mike had reorganized the refrigerator early on, so that the things I used most were on the lower shelves and in the door, where I could reach them without stretching or straining. Small adaptations, each one a deliberate act of love. The Rollator became my kitchen companion. I would load things onto its seat, ingredients from the pantry, items from the refrigerator, whatever needed to move from one end of the kitchen to the other, pushing it carefully along. The problem was that things did not always stay where I put them. A jar would slide, a container would tip, something would topple over and land on the floor with the clunk of an object that has decided it is done cooperating. Mike would appear and pick it up. No comment, no sigh, just picking it up and putting it back and moving on. Simply because I was trying. That patience, steady, consistent, never once making me feel like a burden for the mess I was making, is one of the things I will never forget about those months. Chopping was its own adventure. I would hold onto the counter with one hand and work with the other, which is not the most efficient system, but it was what I had. Things would fly. A piece of vegetable would slide across the counter and off the edge. A utensil would clatter to the floor. Mike cleaned up after me every time, every single day, without making a production of it. I was clumsy and messy, and I attempted it anyway, because where there is a will, there is a way. And I needed to believe that badly enough to keep going back into that kitchen to keep trying. I also bought a magic bullet. The Vitamix I had always used was too large and too heavy for where I was in my recovery. Lifting it, managing it, and cleaning it required more than I could reliably give. The magic bullet fit on the counter, fit in my hand, fit in the life I was currently living. I adapted. You adapt. That is what this whole recovery has been. A long series of adaptations, each one a small surrender to the reality of where you are, and a small act of defiance against the idea that where you are is where you will always be. It's not. By the time Mike started going back to the golf course regularly, I had gotten reasonably capable in the kitchen. Not the way I used to be. Not the confident, efficient, standing for hours version of myself that had cooked in that kitchen for years. But capable enough. Capable enough to make myself lunch when he was out. Capable enough to inch my way from counter to counter, holding on, making my way to the different appliances, managing the small geography of a small kitchen that had become, in its own way, a daily training ground. One Wednesday afternoon, when he was off playing golf, I had been in the kitchen making myself a chicken sandwich, when I realized I had forgotten to grab the mayonnaise from the refrigerator. I looked at my walker parked beside me and decided to just make my way to the end of the counter to the refrigerator by holding on to the counter along the way. I felt safe loosening my grip and just tapping the counter with my fingers for balance as I went. I'd done this several times, but on that day, doing so made me wonder why, when I was barely holding on, I could walk alongside the counter, but when I tried to let go completely, my legs stubbornly stayed stuck to the ground. Today, I was determined to find out why. I let go of the counter and just stood for a moment. The refrigerator was just a few feet away. I stood there looking at my reflection in it, thinking. Since tapping my fingers helps me keep my balance, what could I do instead? All of a sudden, I felt my right arm twitch, as if nudging me to lift it. So I raised my right hand, and my forearm followed with a bent elbow. Then I shifted my weight with a slight shoulder jerk, and, to my surprise, my leg took a step forward. I caught my reflection in the refrigerator door and almost laughed out loud at what I saw. My forward bent arm looked exactly like a chicken wing. Ridiculous! Undignified! And strangely effective. I finished that first step, took a breath, and lifted my left arm the same way, elbow bent like a chicken wing, my body tilting just enough for my other leg to move with it. I was making my way across the kitchen in a slow, determined waddle that looked, if I am being completely honest, like a 74-year-old woman doing the chicken dance in her kitchen just to get the mayonnaise. And it was working. I was freestyle walking to the refrigerator. After grabbing the mayonnaise and setting it down on the nearby counter, I stood for another moment thinking. I can't go through the rest of my life walking like a chicken. There has to be a better way. So I experimented. I began to swing my arms up and down naturally, the way arms swing when a person walks. Left arm forward while the right leg takes a step. Then the right arm forward with the left leg step. The most basic human motion for walking. And so I tried it, and this way was so much smoother than walking like a chicken. I was walking without holding on. That forward motion of the arms created the counterbalance that my body recognized immediately. And maybe deep inside my muscle memory did too, responding to this rhythm even when my conscious mind had forgotten the mechanics of it. I did not count the number of steps I took. I did not think about my knee, or wonder about how many degrees there were in the bend, or any of those things. I was just walking, wobbly and slow and not at all graceful, but walking, without holding on, without the walker, without anyone there to help, witness, or cheer. Just me in my quiet kitchen, doing this small, enormous thing my body had just shown me. And then I stopped, took hold of the counter again, and just stood there for a moment, thinking about all the appointments, all the physical therapy sessions, all the times I had told the therapist I wanted to learn to walk again, and all they did was give me stretches and machines and exercises for my knee. Not one of them had mentioned the arms. No one had said the words that now seemed so obvious they were almost funny. Swing your arms the way arms do when you walk. It was not until this Wednesday afternoon, in my own kitchen, alone, making a chicken sandwich, that my body remembered something that everyone around me had overlooked. And I want to say this not with bitterness, but with genuine wonder, because it is one of the clearest examples of everything this recovery has been trying to teach me. The answers are not always where you expect to find them. Sometimes they are not in the clinic, the therapy session, or a late-night research video. Sometimes they are in the ordinary middle of an ordinary afternoon, when you simply decide to try. And sometimes it turns out you have to be willing to look like a chicken before your body can show you how to walk like a person. I finished making my sandwich and set it on the seat of my walker because I was alone in the house and not ready to test this new discovery too far from the safety of something to hold on to. I made my way to the dining room and sat down at the table to eat my sandwich. From where I sat, I could see it. The spot in the living room on that ordinary October evening. The moment I had taken one step forward with my right leg, when my left leg did not follow. Everything had changed. I did not look away from it. I just sat there with my sandwich and looked at it for a moment. The way you look at something that has been large in your life and that you are slowly, carefully learning to make smaller. Then I ate the chicken sandwich. It was a good sandwich. The chicken was tender and the mayonnaise was exactly right. The house was quiet and mine for the day, and full of the afternoon light that comes through the windows at that hour. I sat there and ate and felt in a way I had not felt since before any of this began, completely ordinary. Completely, gratefully, tearfully ordinary. I had found something real in that kitchen, something my own body had shown me, without a single therapist in the room, and it mattered enormously. But mattering and trusting are two different things, and I had not yet learned to trust my body. That was going to take more than a Wednesday afternoon in the kitchen with the mayonnaise. So I tucked it close and kept practicing.